Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast this Tuesday. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which aims to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. God's plan and wish for you is that you'll enter the priesthood and will dedicate your life to his service. In today's message, Bishop Dag teaches you 9 more qualifications that you will need in order to enter the priesthood. Today's teaching will encourage you to make it your goal to be a priest for God alone and not the approval of man. Bishop Dag will also encourage you to concentrate on developing in the spirit of holiness, because whatever you do in secret, God will make manifest in public. God is the one who lifts, promotes, exalts, and pushes someone forward. In ministry, no one determines your level except for God, so it's important you stay concerned about your personal relationship with him. Let's enter into today's teaching.
Father, thank you for the blessing that we have tonight. Guide us by your mighty Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated if you have a seat. I need to see this screen. It's off. All right. Beautiful. Now turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. How to enter the priesthood. I think I started talking about that last week. All right. Now, Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandment, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So God's plan was that we would be a nation of priests or a nation of pastors. So that is God's wish for you. Amen. Amen. So how do you enter the priesthood? Number one, Exodus chapter 20, Moses goes right into how to enter the priesthood. And in verse 1, he says, God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And so number one is recognize God and his ways on the earth. Amen. Amen. You have to recognize God. He says, I am the Lord your God, which brought thee out. Okay? It's important to recognize God, because you're not going to have so many visions and dreams and so many fantastic experiences. Most people have an ordinary life and occasional flips into the supernatural, but most of our lives is normal. God doesn't seem to want to interrupt what we consider as natural. Why? Because already what we are experiencing is fantastic. It's supernatural. We are moving at a speed of about 110,000 miles per hour, all of us. I mean, that's faster than any rocket. You don't have to go into a rocket to experience rocket science. We are moving at that speed now. And the reason why you can't feel it is the same reason why when you are in a plane, you don't feel the movement. Although you can read on the screen the speed of the plane. I remember one time I was on a Malaysian Airlines and I was seeing for the first time that we're crossing 1,000 kilometers per hour and we go to 1,020, 1,050, 1,080. And then we drop down to 950, depending on the speed and the wind. So that was the speed. But my coffee wasn't moving. My cup wasn't moving. Nothing in the plane was moving. I didn't even feel any movement. And so that's why when we are going at that top speed, if we don't go at that speed, we won't be able to go around the sun in 365 days. We need to move at that speed because it's a long way from the sun. And we're going around in this complete circle. So we need a lot of speed to be able to make it back here in 365 days. Do you understand? Yes. So my glasses are not moving. And not, you can't feel the movement, but it's moving. Otherwise, next year will not come. You get it? And this amazing is already a miracle. Everything around us is a miracle. As you are sitting there, you are forming urine. You are forming feces. You are forming semen. You are forming tears. You are digesting food. Your blood is moving around. You are forming babies. All sorts of things are forming. And they are happening as you are relaxing. All you have to do is to eat. It's a miracle. So I think there's a lot of miraculous already going on in the world. And so you hardly need any interventions to see a great miracle. The stars are so far, so huge. I mean, it's just amazing. If you see Jupiter, if you see Saturn, you just be amazed. So rarely do you see God taking over what we consider as natural because it's already supernatural. And in Luke chapter 1, this is a quick diversion. Quickly divert with me to Luke chapter 1. Don't be worried about the diversion. Now, Mary was visited by an angel. And the angel said many wonderful things. Now, in verse 34, Mary said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now, and the angel answered and said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Amen. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Now, this story we have here is a story of a young woman and an older woman. Both of them were receiving miracles. Say miracles.
Miracles.
Amazing miracles. Yeah. An old lady getting pregnant and then a young lady getting pregnant without sex. That's why the Lord said, "I am the Lord that brought thee out. Do you recognize me?" You can't be a priest without recognizing God. Now, the other thing is that when the Holy Ghost power came on Mary, the Lord said, this amazing miracle that is happening is going to go along with what you consider as natural, which is that thing which shall be born, not exploded or burst out of you. That will be born, that you will go into labor for, normal labor that every woman goes through. You will be going through. But that thing is supernatural. So you often notice the combination of what you think is natural plus something slightly varied. And then that's the miracle. Rarely does it be only supernatural, like that baby that shall come out of your mouth. Do you get what I'm saying? Or the baby that shall appear on the ground. No, the baby that will be born. You know what it means to be born? The uterine muscles must go into contraction, pressure, push out the baby after hours of labor. Mary was in labor. There was nowhere for her. So the supernatural, wonderful things are happening, but the natural things are also happening. If you don't have eyes to see, you will not know that this is the Son of God. You know, when Jesus was born, there were people selling rice outside. They didn't know that the Son of God has arrived on earth. The people in their hotel insulting others, finding prostitutes, people are walking on the roadside. They don't know the greatest event that is ever to take place on this earth has just taken place behind this wooden where the cows are mooing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So the supernatural is so intermingled with what you call natural. But I'm explaining to you already that it's already supernatural that I'm standing here. A baby that is coming out, if you see, you will respect. And if you know the kind of processes that have to take place for somebody to be born from where they are born, you really marvel at the creation of God. It's a real wonder. So it's already supernatural. That's the whole point I'm trying. God has done wonders and he's watching us trivialize these wonders. Do you see? And we want him to do something completely out of the ordinary before we recognize his power. No. Often, and even with the birth of Jesus, there was a birth. There was a pregnancy, a 9 months. With John the Baptist, there was a pregnancy, but with sexual intercourse, but with an old lady. Yes, with an old lady and an old husband. That's supernatural. So I'm just saying that the Lord introduced himself. He says, I am the Lord that brought you out of Egypt. Do you recognize? And he said, you remember how I bore you on eagle's wings? So it's time for you to open your eyes and recognize the supernatural power of God. I may interact with you, but you would not recognize me. You will not recognize what I am or who I am to you or to anybody or to your nation or to this nation or to the body of Christ because you don't have eyes to see. How can you represent somebody you don't recognize? No, can you imagine you are a priest and you are the ambassador or the representative of the person and then the person you are representing passes by and you say, who is that stranger walking there? Meanwhile, you are his representative, but you don't even know him. So how can you be a priest if you don't know God and you don't recognize when he is working and when he's at work and with whom he is working? So you must learn to recognize God. And that's why Jesus said, you remember? Who has seen me has seen the Father. If you had eyes to see, when you see Jesus, you will see the Father. Human beings reveal things about God. Human being can reveal things about God, and you can look at a human being and know about God. You can know about God by looking at Jesus. Just as you can know about the devil by looking at people. There are people who resemble the devil, and their life resembles the devil. So when they behave like the devil. That's what Jesus said, you are of your father. You are just like the devil. If you read the Bible, you are just like, this one is just like the devil. So you can have a revelation of the devil by looking at certain people. Oh yeah, there are people that remind you of the devil. They don't remind you of that, they reveal how the devil is. Just like seeing Jesus reveal to you how God is. And there are certain people, when you see them, you know what the devil is like, what he's about. You're of your father. That's another version says you are like your father. Ooh. Yeah. And I remember one time I met one person and his activity, I never ever met anything that reminded me more of the devil than that person. Because his main work was going around from place to place spreading stories. And the Bible describes Lucifer as that. Going around as a tailbearer, going around from place to place. The Bible calls it a trafficking, by the multitude of thy traffic. So, there's a lot of revelation that your eyes need to see. You need to see and recognize your God. Then you can represent him. Number two, you must come out of bondage. I gave you these notes last week, if you are part of it. Are you watching in the UK? Beautiful. Are you watching in Tamale? Wonderful. Are you watching in
Kumasi.
Beautiful. We don't hear much from you, Kumasi. Are you there? All right. Number two, you must overcome bondages. He says, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of bondage. Number three, you must not have any other God. God doesn't like any other allegiances. If you love the Lord, love him. You cannot have other allegiances and other commitments. Watch out if you have any special advisor who is advising you against the word of God. Watch out for voices, persons. They can change your life. If you listen to certain things, it can change you. You got to be careful. Number four, understand the mercies and the judgments of God. He says he shows mercy to thousands. Amen. God is a very merciful God. That's why things can go on for a long time. Sometimes you wonder why God doesn't just jump in and just react to things. But he's such a merciful God. The Bible says that you should not think that the mercies of God which are happening should be taken for granted. But the mercy of God leads you to repentance. His mercy is supposed to lead you towards your repentance. Number five, don't joke with God. He says, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Number six, take rest seriously. The Sabbath is something he doesn't joke along with. Amen. So you must respect the concept of rest or the Sabbath. All right? And it depends on the work you do, but you must believe in that. And ministers need the time. We sang a song last week about spend a little time to stay away from the Lord. Something. Sing it. Yes. Yes.
Come and spend some time with me. Come away. Let your heart and mind be still. Let your empty cup be filled. Come and spend some time with me. Come away.
Come away.
Come away. Come away. Come and spend some time with me. Come away. Let your heart and mind be still. And let your empty cup be filled. Spend some time with me. Come away.
So as we've been having our flow prayer meetings, many of you have been realizing you've not been praying enough. Realize that there's a lot to pray about. There's a lot to keep praying about. Keep praying. Number seven, honor your fathers and your mothers is the next step. Because Exodus 19, he tells the vision, I want to make you a nation of priests. And Exodus 20, he gives the keys to becoming an amazing nation of priests. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. Amen. And that on the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Amen. So that's where we were when we got off last week. And if you read with me, Mark chapter 7. And verse 10. Change it to the American Bible, please. American or any other version. Oh, what's the problem? Yeah. So, what does it say? Somebody read. Whoso speaks evil of your father is to be put to death. Yeah, I'm reading from the Bible. Yeah. Are you there? You haven't seen this verse before. Yeah. Choose any version you want. For Moses said, honor your father and mother. And he who speaks evil of his father or mother is to be put to death. Yes. So you see, you are crossing serious lines when you joke with fathers and mothers. And very, very important that you, what you must believe. Amen. Now, in the Torah, keeping this commandment was associated with individual benefit. Dishonoring parents by striking or cursing them was punishable by death. All right? So that the clause, so that you may live long. You see, when it says honor your father that you may live long, is replaced with so that you may not be put to death. You understand? So honor your father and mother so that you may not be put to death. Yes. Are you listening to me? Yes. Now, in the Talmud, the commandment to honor one's human parents is compared to honoring God. Yes. And the prophet Malachi does the same thing. All right? Now, honor the body that bore thee. Legends of the Jews, volume 3. Honor the body that bore thee and the breast that gave thee suck. Maintain thy parents, for thy parents took part in thy creation. Maintain thy what? Thy parents, because thy parents took part in thy creation. Yes. Legends of the Jews. Volume 3. Are you there? Yes. Now, for man owes his existence to God, to three people, to God, to his father, and to his mother. In that, he receives from each of his parents 5 of the parts of his body and 10 from God. The bones, the veins, the nails, the brain and the white of the eye come from the father. The mother gives him the skin, the flesh, the blood, the hair, and the pupil of the eye. Are you listening? And God gives him the following. God gives him his breath, his soul, the light of his countenance, his sight, his hearing, his speech, his touch, his sense, his insight, and understanding. Man owes his existence to God and to his father and to his mother. Legends of the Jews. Volume 3. Yes. Are you listening to me? Yes. So the Talmud says that since there are 3 partners in the creation of a parent, a person, that is God and 2 parents, honor shown to the parents is the same as honor shown to God. And it compares a number of similarly constructed passages from the Torah and concludes that honor towards parents and honor toward God are intentionally equated. In other words, what they are trying to say is that the Holy Scriptures are indicating that your honor of parents is equivalent or the same thing as honoring God. And so your dishonoring of parents or fathers and mothers is the same as dishonoring God, because they're the partners in creation. at the people you are dishonoring one of the partners in your creation of you, your existence. And even in the ministry, how do you come to be? It's certain people that cause you to exist in the ministry as a pastor or to be recognized anywhere as anything. Yes, you were created or made to be. So you have to be careful when you are dealing with the partners that cause your existence to be. Yeah. And you know, all these things, it's nice to hear them in a teaching like this, but when the time comes, the fear of God should make you not be reckless. Do you see? Reckless. Recklessness can kill you. Yes. So you have to be careful with these important laws and principles. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, Proverbs 960 from the Midrash. Everything that your father says to you, you are obliged to obey. But if he says to you, let us bow down to idols, you must not obey him, lest you become an apostate. I am the Lord your God, and both you and your parents are equally bound to honor me. Therefore, you must not hearken to them to disregard my word. Amen. Are you there? Jewish law. A child who is traveling has an obligation to communicate with his or her parents to let them know that he or she is safe in order to prevent them from worrying. It's in the Jewish law. Yes. Huh? Should I say it again? A child who is traveling has an obligation to communicate with his parents to let them know that he is safe, he or she is safe, in order to prevent them from worrying. Continues. A child must continue to honor his or her parent after their death. Yeah. You know, these are legends of the Jews and Jewish, which is where we get our things from. A child must continue to honor his parents after their deaths. This can be done by reciting Kaddish for 11 months and by donating charity in the memory of the parent. Now, the study of the Torah, which is the Old Testament, is considered to be reverence toward a parent. For it shows that a parent raised a worthy child. Studying of the Bible is a sign of reverence for your parents, because it shows that the parents raised a worthy child. Are you listening? Are you interested in what I'm talking about? Yes. Now, a child must never put a parent to shame or speak arrogantly to a parent. You see, a lot of the things that we have even in our culture, they are the laws of God that have become culture. But a child must never make a parent, put a parent to shame or speak arrogantly to a parent. A parent who is told to do something by his or her mother for which his father does not like, the result is not permitted to tell his father that his mother said to do that. You can listen to the message yourself. This is because it could lead to his or her father cursing his or her mother. And the last one before I jump out of here. A child is not permitted to interrupt or contradict a parent or to disturb a parent's sleep. Are you watching? Amen. So, I just want to say here that indeed, honoring your father and honoring your mother is indeed seen as a very, very important thing in the Bible. It's equated to honoring of God. So when you dishonor parents, it's like you are dishonoring God, because you are dishonoring one of the partners which caused your creation. It's one of the most severe things, evil, bring upon yourself a severe evil. Just respect it, you know, and always leave out parents, spiritual fathers, and whatever in your zeal to correct things and your zeal to fight things. You have to be careful with these kind of people, because you should be careful. You should play it safe, because if you don't take care, you'll cross a certain line. And a person who, the Bible says, the ground which receives the water and brings forth thorns is nigh to be cursed. So you must not bring forth thorns to your parents. It's a dangerous thing. And you must believe these things. Because if you don't believe them, you will live a long life finding out that the Bible is true. You know, one day I went to the mortuary. And it was in the mortuary that it struck me that almost every sentence, if not every single sentence in the Bible, is 100% accurate. Because when I saw the end of man, I could imagine so many scriptures which were being fulfilled, but just by seeing a dead person lying there, I said, ah, what kind of situation is this? So it made me realize that, as the Bible says that it is vanity, all the other things are true, but when you are going up in life, you not think that it's vanity, that your life is vanity. But if you get to a point, you look back and say, oh, they are all useless things. Number 8, we are having 12 steps. Do not kill. Thou shalt not kill. Okay? So, most people feel that we are not included in the killing. Do you understand? But you realize that many, many, many sins, do you see, take place in our minds. Do you get it? Yes. So that is why the Bible says, whoever hates his brother, do you get it, is a murderer. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 7. It said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, because it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So he is telling you that the mind is an enemy against God, because it is not subject to the law of God. So many things go wrong in our minds. And those thoughts in our minds is where evil comes from. And that is what Jesus was talking about when he said, if you look at a woman and lust after her in your heart, you have already committed adultery. So sin doesn't begin when you do, but sin begins in the mind. And that's why he's explaining that the mind of a man, you know, a carnal mind of a man is an enemy. The mind is like an anti-God place. So if you allow certain thoughts in your head, in your mind, in your heart, that is where sin begins. And when you allow, you'll be surprised what there is. So hatred, the Bible tells us, is the same. Whoso hates his brother, right, is a murderer. Now, when it comes to hatred, I think you should be able to say, I have not hated somebody before. Do you see? But if you dislike somebody very much to the point where you want the person to die, or you want to hear of the person's death, your feelings towards the person are going into hatred. Do you understand? And unless it's one of the things that God has said you should hate, because in the Bible, he says to the Nicolaitans, I have this. This one thing I like about you is that thou hatest the works of the Nicolaitans. So there are some things to hate. But to hate your brother, to kill him, it means you are a murderer, but you haven't had the opportunity. And if you get the chance, your human nature to kill for somebody, what you've done to me, I want to hurt you. You know, one day I heard somebody talking about a person that she had an interaction with and then waved the hand in a way. And I sort of felt killing in the hand like this. So I noticed hatred. So you have to watch yourself. All right? Number 9, hatred cannot be in a minister. And if you want to be in the priesthood, no hatred. Number 9, thou shalt not commit adultery. All right? So adultery and fornication don't go with priesthood. All right? So what I have come to see over time is that people have mocked at these things, but it's not compatible with priesthood. Whatever you do in secret, God will deal with you in public. So he will, your ministry, your priesthood ministry will not work if you have this as part of your life. Amen? Are you listening? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. Now the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered the sacrifice, the priest's servants came, and while the flesh was seething, I want to change this version to something we can understand a little better. All right. The priest's servant would come with a 3-pronged fork in his hand while the meat was being boiled and would plunge the fork into the pan. And whatever the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. And this is how they treated all the Israelites. Even before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the person who was sacrificing, give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw. And if the person said, let the fat be burned first, then take whatever you want, the servant would answer, no, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force. And the sin of the young man was very great in the Lord's sight, and they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. All right? Now, Samuel was ministering. Then in verse 22, the Bible said, now Eli was very old and heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who were served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And he said to them, why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, the report I hear spreading among the Lord's people is not good. If one person sins another, God may mediate. But if one sins against the Lord, who will intercede for them? His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. Are you there? So they did not listen because it was the Lord's will, or the King James says, because the Lord would slay them. All right? Because the Lord would slay them. Or in the American Bible, it says, for the Lord desired to put them to death. Are you listening?
Yes.
So adultery and fornication is not compatible with priesthood. All right? So everybody needs to overcome. And that is why usually young people, when young people want to be in the ministry, they marry. Because at a point, those desires are physiological. They are human. And so if you don't direct them, you can't stop them. You have to direct them. The things you can't stop, you die like rivers. You can't stop it. If you stop it, you have a kosumbu dam. So you direct it so that it goes where it should go. But you can't stop it. You can't block it. Have you ever seen a river that is blocked? It will form a dam and it will spill over and to go around. So you find when you tell people over the years, I found when you tell people, help direct the river to go this way, they mock at efforts to direct the river into the right direction or into safer directions. They mock. And I've found over the years that people end up in all kinds of disasters when you mock and you despise the power that exists in the human body and how it was created. And the tendencies, plus the iniquities and the perversions and crookedness that is in human beings already. If you joke with that, you cannot be a priest. Look, ministry, if nobody determines your level, God determines. No matter how even somebody wants to bring you down, if God wants to bring you up, you go up. If God is tired of you, you come down. So nobody can bring a fellow person down. Don't worry about that. Do you understand? What you should worry about is yourself. And yourself and God. That is what you should be concerned about. That God sees you and you see God. And what you do in the sight of God, not what somebody thinks or what somebody says or whatever story somebody may make up. But what you are doing before God, that's the main, because the one who can elevate you, the one who can help you, is only God. So you may make people have a good impression about you, but you are evil. Or people may have a bad impression about you, but you are good. But what you need to be is good before God. That's why the Bible says we are to be holy and blameless before Him. So your fight and your war is to be holy and blameless in the sight of God. Amen. Not in the sight of anybody. So as the Bible is telling us, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's simple. And your fight must be that my life, if you have been living that way, it must end. And if you don't end it, it will never, it cannot, it's not compatible. Mm. I'm just trying to explain, these things don't work with it. It may seem to work for some time because God is very merciful. But it may seem to work for some time, but at a point it will not work. Yes. And you see that the ultimate levels that God has for you cannot be attained combining it with all these things. You just have to accept it. You see, a lie is always needed to assist evil. Whenever you do evil, you need a lie to support it. Well, without a lie, you can't continue. You need to tell a lie or live a lie. So lies are good companions to almost every evil. People say, oh, all liars are thieves. But no, all liars have something else that they are doing wrong. Do you understand? That's why they need lies and deception. Lies and deception are needed to assist whatever practice of evil you are involved in. So anytime you find a person telling a lie, the person has some more evils about the person. So I am saying this, that be not mockers. God is the one who promotes, who lifts, who exalts, who pushes somebody forward. Make your aim to become a priest of God, not of any man, no matter what anybody says, except God says finish. There is no finishing with you. And that's why you must focus on him and focus to be righteous and blameless before him, in front of God. That's the one you must be thinking of.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Not what people are thinking. You see people putting up a good show, trying to give good. These days, when I see people trying to show, you know, how good they are in a certain way, my antennas immediately go up, because I found almost invariably that all people who are expert on showing good pictures on the outside have something wrong with them. That is why they are compensating with such a good appearance of whatever. It's a compensation and a growing to grow and deceive people. Try to think of God. Look, these commandments are not easy, but possible. They are not easy, but they are possible. Yeah. It's possible to live without committing the sins that are written here. Nobody is saying that there will not be pressure or there will not be temptation, but it's possible. If it was not possible, why would God tell you something that you cannot do? But the Bible says with every temptation, he makes a way. You see, and that is why when you mention the way, then people mock, but never mock the way. So when God gives to us, marry, as a young, so, oh, why should you marry? Why this or whatever? What's the hurry? What is this? That and that. Who asked for this church? They just go, you just go there to get married. This and that. That's a mockery of the way God has given us to direct certain things. When you do counseling, you tell people, you counsel couples, say, do this at home, do this. They mock at it. So what is all this? You are always talking about sex. You are this and that, whatever. They mock it. The next moment, you hear something else. People mock all the ways that God gives for people to live in a certain way. They mock at it. That's my experience with Christians. They mock at you. You show them, do this. It's a way to escape. No. They mock it. They mock you. They mock at the things that God gives. And later on, you hear another thing altogether. So don't mock. You know, God has given us something and he says, this is my law. You want to be my priest? There is no other way. Jeremiah 23. Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep. Therefore, thus says the Lord, against the pastors that feed my flock, you've scattered my flock and driven them away, and you have not visited them. These are famous scripture we use for visitation. Yeah. I will visit you with evil. I will gather the remnant from where I've driven them. Verse 4, I will set up shepherds, which shall feed them. Behold, the day is come. I will raise up David, a righteous branch. Amen. Now, verse 9. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. Verse 10. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth, and pleasant places of the wildernesses are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both the prophet and the priest are profane. You see? Yea, in my house I have found their wickedness, saith the Lord. You see, there are many people that are pastors. These scriptures apply to you. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness, and they shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation. Verse 14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. A what? Horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. I told you, every evil goes with lies. Okay? Yeah. They commit what? Adultery and walk in lies. And they strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the inhabitants of Gomorrah. So you see that God, by his prophetic eye, is warning the church. That's what I'm talking about, becoming a priest. God says, I've seen a horrible thing, and you have to be careful. Now, verse 15. In response to this, all right, the Lord says, I will feed them with wormwood. Now, wormwood is it means a curse. If you don't mind to click on that word in the Hebrew. You know, I like you to believe what I'm saying. You click it yourself. It means curse. So therefore, I'll feed them with a curse. But you see, the curse comes into the midst of ministry. Do you understand? Curses come for adultery and lies. All right, so when he says you and you want to be a priest, you have to look at yourself, and it's one of the wars, one of the fights to live your life fighting. It's a personal battle. Yeah. And it's a reality. Are you listening? And I will make them drink the water of the gall, which is bitterness. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone out into the ground, into the land. Amen. Thus says the Lord, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They make you useless. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Are you with me? Yeah. Amen? Amen? And it goes on and on and on and on. And it keeps on lambasting the prophets and the priests because they are not following the ways of the Lord. Verse 20. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed until he had performed the thoughts of his heart in the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Hallelujah. Verse 23. Am I a God at hand, says the Lord, not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth? Huh? You know, God is saying, is there anywhere you can hide from me? No. God sees and God knows. And so all of us must live our lives remembering these amazing warnings. You can live 1,000 years and meet many people who will be telling you of their escapades. I fornicated here, nothing happened. I fornicated here, nothing has happened. I committed adultery here, nothing has happened. I'm moving on, nothing has happened. But you see, you must remember the word of the Lord. It may seem as if nothing has happened, nothing has happened. And we're able to deceive a lot of people. But you must know that the Lord says that I will feed you with cursing and you will drink bitterness. So you must decide, however the way and the method, God is telling you that to be my priest, thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen.
Amen.
Number 10. Thou shalt not steal. You know, you would think that these are not necessary. Thou shalt not steal. Huh? Stealing is not compatible with ministry. And you would think again that these things are just being said. Stealing doesn't matter. But you see, where the culture develops to a certain point, you realize that stealing has become normal. Lying has become normal. Are you with me? And it's not compatible. And you see, that's why sometimes I encourage people when I tell them you are giving, I tell them, look, don't even give it directly to the project even. I'll show you the project so that you just do it. That's why I've invented a way of doing a church in an amount that the whole church can be built with a certain amount. So you just give it there. You see it practically. Because people know that there's so much stealing and dishonesty. That's why people don't want to even give. They feel that, oh, I'm just giving to support this person's extravagant lifestyle. You know? It's true. So that is why, is it all these are the, if you ask why is a ministry not working, adultery, fornication. Why is a ministry not working? Stealing. So to be a priest, it sounds fantastic, but that's it. If you can put these things away, you see that you are moving. Did I tell you also, thou shalt not bear false witness? Okay. It's coming. Yes. Yes. And that is number 11. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Amen. So lying, I mean, you would think that lying, are you talking to baby Christians? Are you talking to somebody who is just born again, or are you talking to somebody who wants to be a priest? Am I preaching in prison? Maximum security prison? No. I'm preaching to people who are having revival at 7. And who want to be revived at 7 p.m. so that they may serve the Lord better. Amazing. And this is the message of the Lord. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Lying is not compatible, no matter the lie. It's not compatible with ministry. I'm telling you, it's not compatible with being a priest. You know, if you were to ask me at my age and after being in the ministry, you know, I got married 31 years ago. And I was in a relationship for 4 years before that, or 5 years. You know? That's 35 years ago. And you were to ask me, and I was in the ministry all through that time. I've been in the ministry preaching actively. For 35 years at least, because I'm counting back my relationship. Active ministry. If you were to ask me, so what is necessary? Just this once, you will be a great minister. Wow. Even if you don't know how to preach. Wow. It's true. Wow. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt what? Thou shalt not steal. Why will not people give to your ministry? Because you may steal it. You talk a lot, but it's like nothing comes out of it. That's why when ministries start to do things, people say, these people have a lot of money. Yeah. Because maybe a lot of my money is not stolen. Yeah, that's right. Yes, a lot of the money is not stolen. So it's available to do the things. That's why it may seem to you that somebody has money. If you think nations don't have money, then you don't know. If we sit down and we talk about money, you'll be amazed at what money there is in the world. Even in your country, wherever you are. Honor your fathers and mothers. If you were to ask me, keys to being a priesthood. Honor your fathers and mothers. Don't wake them up when they are sleeping. When you travel, call and inform them that you are safe. So that they don't worry. You see that your ministry is going higher and different and better. Yes. There are times I've received blessings whilst traveling. I sit on the plane, I make a call, and I get a blessing. Say, you are blessed in convoys of angels. And then I immediately feel happy. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Then, do not be covetous. That's the last step to entering the priesthood. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. Are you entering your priesthood beautifully? Verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. You see, if you only follow this, you'll do well in the ministry. I'm telling you, even if you can't preach. Even if you're not good at visitation. You see your neighbor's house. And you are coveting your neighbor's house, which is revealed by your comments and your attitude towards your neighbor's prosperity. Oh, this one is all stolen money. Oh, this one, his father did this. Oh, this one is this and that. This one is whatever. Oh, if we were all to whatever, do you think we will not be by this time? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. When your eyes are on houses and properties, you are coveting thy neighbor's house. Then thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Because I told you that sin starts in the mind. You cannot be looking at your neighbor's wife with your mouth watering, salivating at your neighbor's wife. I'm not preaching in a prison. I'm preaching to people who are at revival at 7. Since thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thou shalt make thine own entertainment in thine own house. Yes. So that you, that's the way. And when you say it, and when you give counsel, you write a book, whatever, then they mock you. Yes. And you watch and see those very people turn out into disasters. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Then thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's manservant or his maidservant. If somebody works for me, thou shalt not covet that person. You'll be surprised that people see the people that work for you, your manservant or maidservant, and they are coveting that person. And you see that it's being listed with houses, wives, servants. They make up a person's life and even his personality. Yes. It makes up a person's life and his personality and what he actually consists of. And we are not supposed to desire not just a person's house or a person's wife, but a person's servants or even workers or gifted people that the person has. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor. If I go to some merchant and I say, hey, this man has this person who is at this bank or who is at this wonderful whatever, and then you don't have to covet that person to be with you. Yes. You don't have to covet. You have to know that all the servants, manservants and maidservants, make up my servants and the people that work for me, make me up in my personality of ministry, because I'm like an octopus with arms and the arms are doing things. Don't covet the arm. Don't set your desire on any of the manservants or maidservants that God has given to me. Leave them. You touch and you find yourself, your hand, something happening to your hand, because it is in the Bible. It's one of the laws for priesthood. You can't go to somebody's church and offer the worship leader a higher salary to come and work in, sing worship in your church. The keyboardist and the prayer man. I like your atmosphere. I need you in my church. Are you listening? You see, it sounds funny, but there, you see, you will find out that there is nothing more true than what the Bible says. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. People pass by how they drive by. Then you see them in so they'll slow down, they'll roll down the window, they'll see some. Then they'll continue driving. Ooh! Why? Skin pain. The pain is in the skin. Concentrate on your house. You drive by your neighbor's wife and you covet thy neighbor's wife. Concentrate on yours and solve your problems. That neighbor's wife, if you take the person as your wife, you'll be surprised the hell you have. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's manservant. One time I went for a crusade, and then there was some people of another church, and they said about the crusade director. I said, if we have one of these crusade directors in our church, the whole denomination will change. I realized that they were coveting my manservant. Create your own. Develop your own. Don't set your eyes on somebody's manservant or maidservant. Yes. Develop your own singers. Develop your own worship leaders. Don't set your eyes on what somebody has cherished and developed for years. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's manservant or maidservant. Are you listening?
Yes. Yes.
Somebody has a good assistant. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's assistant. Now, nor his ox. Nor his ox. Or his ass. Don't covet your neighbor's ass. Leave his ass alone. Are you listening? Yes. Now, your neighbor's car. You see, people are driving by on their oxen. Their ox is your car. Your ass is your bicycle. And other things you have for transport. Yes. You are to concentrate on yours and not be coveting your neighbor's and saying, look at it, it's cocaine that he used to get this ox. They are printing money, I know them. Amen. So in the ministry, you see all these rules are there. If you ask me, what will you do to be in the ministry? All these. You'll find out when you go into the ministry and you find things that are not working, you find all these are not being done. That's all. If you like, bet with me. Who likes to bet with me? You don't like to bet with me? You go and say, ministry that is not working, this is one of these things. Somewhere, it's not working. Psalm 15, as we close. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill or thy Kodesh? Huh? Who? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteous. Is it no mention of anointing? He does anointing and towel. Anointing and oil and Vaseline. Vaseline and oil. No. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. And he that speaketh the truth in his heart. You see, many of us don't tell the truth in our heart. What we are saying, we don't believe it. We are saying, preaching things you don't believe. Saying things you don't really think so. Speaking the truth in your heart. These are the qualifications for staying in the tabernacle as a priest. Number three, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. You can't bite my back and do well. When I turn around, when I'm not in your presence, you give me a bite. You are not qualified to be a priest, and you are not qualified to be in the holy tabernacle. You know something? Be bold and tell me to my face what you think. And don't wait for me to turn my back and you bite my back. Back bite. Back bite means when I'm going and when I'm out of your presence, then you give a snipe, a snap, a nip. Oh! And when a person hears, he says, oh, why did you say that to about me? That's not a nice thing. That's not a nice thing. It disqualifies you from being in the priesthood. These patterns, you may have learned them from your house. Always your parents or your family, when somebody comes and the person goes, there is a bite at the back. Learn and learn bad things and learn new things. That's why you are in the house of God, to learn new ways. Hallelujah. He that backbiteth not his hand, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Verse 4. in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. Now, let's see what the other version says. Who despises a vile person? Again, you see that they says do not respect hateful people. Yes. Do not respect hateful people. So your love is not the only thing that is important, but your hatred is important. In whose eyes a vile person is despised or rejected. So when we see those you reject, we know something about you. You can't accept, you know, people want to be liked by everybody. Jesus was not liked by everybody. He had people that really disliked him. The Bible said the Pharisees stood there watching to catch his word, to catch him in just a word. If I speak for hours to you, by all means, you'll be able to take snippets of what I say and take it out of context. Cursed be those who take my words out of context to slander me and to blaspheme against me in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. A vile person is contemned, is disliked, is despised. Whom do you despise and what do you dislike? It tells me. You know, sometimes you should listen. This person, I really recommend this person. The people you recommend and the people you approve of and the people you who approve of you, it all reveals something about you. What you don't like, what you don't flow with, reveals something about you. The Bible said those who stay in the tabernacle, in their eyes, a vile person must be contemned or rejected. So your likings and your disliking are all things to read. That's why even in politics, if you appear, we are going into elections now, if you appear on somebody's platform, you get it, it will be interpreted. You don't have to say, oh, I support or I don't support. There are things that are interpreted and they are interpreted correctly usually. Step there, and if I appear on a platform with a shirt and whatever, what does it mean? I say, oh, no, at all. And after I tell you, no, it doesn't mean anything. It means something. What you like, what you approve of, what you do, it has a meaning. So what you hate is a revelation of you. But he honors them that fear the Lord. He honors them that fear the Lord. So brothers and sisters, your honor of them that fear the Lord is a sign that you belong inside the tabernacle. Decide to be someone because this person serves the Lord. You honor them. I am not a Catholic, but I went to a Catholic school. And when I see a priest who gives his life, will not marry, and pledges from a young man upwards that he's only married to the Lord, you know, it's a living sacrifice. If your mother was a living sacrifice. You know, one time I sat by a Catholic priest, I think he was a bishop, and we were all coming to Ghana on a flight. So I asked him, who is in the house? There's nobody in the house. The fridge is in the house. The house is empty. He's going to wherever they are. I look at him, I say, I am not a good person. I'm not righteous. These are good people. You know, you must fear and honor people who fear the Lord. Even if it's a different color or a different church, meet somebody who fears the Lord. You must honor them. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Amen. Yes. He honors them that fear God. If you fear God, Peter, I honor you. I respect you. I don't disregard you. I don't despise you. Once I see that you fear God, yes. Even other religions, they fear God. Compare with people who don't fear God. Yes. So, brothers and sisters, I tell you, these are the people that belong in the house of the Lord. Psalm 15. Beautiful. We are ending in a moment. He sweareth to his own head and changeth not. You know, changing not. This is what we are looking for. To be a priest, changing not. Will you change? Calculate in 15 years, how old will you be? 15 years. Will you be the same? Will you be as loyal as you claim to be? Huh? Will you be as loyal as you claim to be? What will you be doing in 15 years from now? Huh? He swears and he changes now. In the last period of my life, I have seen many people that their words meant almost nothing. Their truth and their lies were like breathing. This one is a lie. It's true. It's a lie. As they lie like they are breathing. They speak the truth like they are breathing and they lie like that. You can't tell the difference. Words mean nothing. Promises mean nothing. I take you as this. What are you talking about? So when the Bible is talking about people qualified to be in the house of God, he swears and he will not change. What he said means something to him. One time, an old man came to see me in the office and he said, I've finished working here and I'm going to my village. And he had been an old man in our church. Well, our church was young, but he was one of the only old people. And he said to me, I will not see you again. I've not heard anybody talk like that before. I will not see you again. I'm going to my village and I'm going to live there till I die. But I came to ask you for a favor. I said, a favor. And he kept making an appointment to see me until finally he saw me. He said, I'm here for a favor. I said, what favor? He said, please, one day you will hear that I'm dead. When you hear that I'm dead, I beg you, do me just one favor. He said, what? Send somebody to come and bury me in my hometown. When he said, he said he should send somebody to bury him. But when he said that, I was so moved by what he said that I said, no, I will come myself and bury you. Yes. I was so moved because I've never heard somebody saying bye-bye like that before. When you get more experience, you know when somebody is saying bye-bye for the last time. Recently, I visited somebody in the house. When I said bye-bye to her, actually, she just called me and I turned inside the house and I knew that I was seeing her for the last time. Yes, I knew that this was the last time. And I just looked at her and I said bye-bye. She was a dear auntie to us. When you are younger, you will not know it's the last time. But when you get older, some of the times you know that it's the last time. I promised this old man, I myself will come and bury you. But wherever, I didn't even know where he was going. One day I was in the church and I got the news that this old man is dead. I don't even know how they found me. Because he was far away somewhere. And they got the message to me. And I said, today is today. I have to keep my word. I told the man, I will come myself. So I called. I said, look, when is this funeral? And I drove all the way. I think it was a Saturday. I traveled far. Reached a place there are no houses. And I moved and I moved and moved. When you got to the village, the town. Yes, to his own head. I said, where is this man? And they said, oh, he's a member of another church. So another church. But he said, when he dies, I should come and bury him. Then I saw some people in red gowns. The gown comes from the top to the ground. A team, I mean like about 20 or 30 of them. All members of that, I don't know what type of church it was. Very spooky looking church. With this type of things. Hey! So I realized they didn't even recognize, they didn't even know who I was, what I've come to do there. They were not expecting me. So I followed them. And I just attended, because this man, I've promised him that I will be there. Even as he's dead, I said, I will be there. I told him I will be there. So I followed them around, round, until they were tired. And the whole funeral was over. And I just left. I never even had a chance to do anything, but I was there because I said, I'll be there. I said, I'll be there. He sweareth to his own head and changeth not. So you can't go around telling 1,000 people I love you. That's why I love you. It has lost its value. I like you has overtaken I love you by far. Or if not realize. Yes. I like the way you like me. It's different from I love the way you love me. I love you. It has cheapened. Think of how many people you've told I love you to. What does it now mean? I'm asking you English. You don't speak. I should speak Japanese. Eh? I should speak. He sweareth to his own head and changeth not. I not change. I said I'll do this, I'll do it. Try. This is Christianity. This is qualification to enter that tabernacle. Are you listening? Yes. Many marriages need this scripture. A marriage is hurting you, but you will not change. Yes. Your entered is hurting, but you will not change because you said you will be there. Okay. He that putteth out not his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. You see? You see now, shall never be moved. You'll be established in the house of the Lord. May the Lord strengthen you and may you enter and stay in the priesthood. May your words have value. May you rise out of every one of the evils mentioned by Moses and be a holy person, special for the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now sit down. You know, I want to tell you something. Pray from today for the spirit of holiness. Pray for it all. You know, put up that scripture, the spirit of holiness. Very important scripture. Holiness is a spirit. Holiness is one of the spirits of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit is called Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of holiness. Amen. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Declare to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness. So the Spirit of holiness works by the resurrection. It's a power spirit that enables you to live your life in holiness. And holiness means special. And it's these things that make you special. An ordinary man swears and changes his mind and breaks his agreement and breaks his covenant over and over again. But a special and spiritual man, he makes his promise and that promise is it. All these qualities to honor your father, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's manservant, thy neighbor's maidservant, thy neighbor's ox and thy neighbor's ass. They are all spiritual qualities. And it takes the spirit of holiness to make you a special person to God. Pray for the spirit of holiness. Pray for the spirit of holiness. It's a spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And through that Holy Spirit and that spirit of holiness, you'll be empowered to be holy. Holiness is not by might or by power. God told Abimelech, I kept you from touching that woman. I kept you from touching that woman. I kept you. It wasn't that you were whatever. I kept you. The circumstance that you think was second, I kept you from touching that woman. So pray for the spirit of holiness. Every standing. Lift your hand as we pray for the spirit of holiness. Ask God to endow you and bless you mightily with the spirit of holiness. Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for the blessing of your holy word. As you touch our lives, you change our lives. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Very simple for ministry. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Basic. Power of God over your life. Matakola. Shamihi kipara. Mada that sweareth and changeth not. Matusa imandala pakatabarandalaba. Mahatili karhambo santala benheli bugidigidisa. Mikili takukula makabara. Shtimara. Mitichipola. Mande kepelde dumba andabasanda la manaka baladaria. We give you praise. We give you glory. Lifting hands, every lifting hand. We thank you, Father, for your blessing as you guide us and you bring us to become a nation of priests. Only you can bless. Only you can exhort us. Only you can help us. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We give you glory. Matafila oma kapashando azamanda la baba. Brasinda hele makabada. Malokiste malande hedelemuzanda lama. Matakilo shabanda. Presta medrubiliste. Malibra sambada zambisto namalan. Thank you. Thank you. For it shall come to pass that if you shall go down into the secret place, to the underground of your life, and dig out the snakes and the worms, and take out all the corruption that is within the foundations, then I shall rebuild you and build the waste places and establish you a holy people and a nation of priests. If you shall take out of you the corrupt thing, the contamination and the defilement, Amatu Farhadi Samandar Banaka, and dedicate yourself to the closeness of Jehovah, the closeness of Almighty God, a God that is holy and a God that is love, a God that is pure, then you shall see my grace and my power descending upon you in waves, wave after wave, wave after wave, wave after wave shall come upon you of my glory. For my restoration is near. My help is here. And afla umukala. It comes in waves. Andilo mahandaraba. Not to whitewash the tombs. But to go deep down. And to remove the corruption. The wickedness. The contamination and defilement. Nahachi ola masamba akamoda sira. Tafrege tabandaraba. That you may take root downwards and bear fruit upwards. Ataba. And your fruit may go towards heaven and be pleasing to the Father who called you and sent you. Nefrinda atalmojida. The time of pretense, amola, is over. The time of honesty, the time of reality. Adokalde umutala ichimana osemala. Prisanela, Tomberikele, Sibatamala is here. Stand before him, my servant. Stand before him. Darahambu Sanali, Prejimanda Zambrose Nemenekete. for all sorts of corruptions everywhere. But my hand and my eyes over all things. Adablu talba adalbara. With whom you have to deal. I am the one. Darambu kasaba. Cheminda azalamanda. Prezelele. Therefore stand upright before me. Let there be no defilement. Let there be no wickedness in you. For I, the Lord, I have called thee. I will send thee and use you in the nations of the world. Lift your hand and thank him for the nations. Makado fredemiza. For you shall go to the nations. Amonalada madol berikido parmane nepel etele momanda. Nations await you. Nations await my righteous ones. Nations await my priests. Nations await my prophets. For they shall go and they shall run. They shall serve and they shall minister in my holy tabernacle. My holy hill shall be filled with my holy priests and my holy prophets. We give you praise, Father. We thank you for the great works that you have done in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.